So, Kyle, we've been on trains now. It's now Tuesday. We last talked on Saturday. So since we last recorded, we got off that train that went down to Sacramento and then walked around Sacramento for a bit and got on another train, which we're still on. I spent two nights on that train. I'm saying it quickly because we're about to reach our destination of Chicago on this train, the California Zephyr. Unfortunately, this train has been delayed by freight trains, which is the bane of Amtrak's existence. And as a result, we're arriving shortly after our next train leaves. And that train, for whatever reason, cannot be late. So that train's not going to wait for us. And now we have to figure out what we're going to do.
Yeah, and you won't be running. I won't be running.
I refuse to run through train stations. I've done that. It's fun, but I'm not in the mood. You know, we've been on this train for a while. I'm just going to be leisurely about it and see where that takes me.
Yeah, you should not have to make up time for, like, the freight trains and stuff like that. But at the same time, if everything's against us as far as how fast they back in and this other train not leaving, we're really left with no choice but to basically stand at the door and leap from it and then casually but briskly walk to the next train, and hopefully it's still there. It may be moving, at which point we'll have to turn around and go in and make other plans. They did offer us that there is another train, this train being the Lakeshore Limited, the one we took on the way out.
I already took that train. I don't want to take the same train twice.
It's true. Yeah. So, it's not that we don't have options, but our preferred option won't wait for us. And that is something it seems no one can do anything about.
It just annoys me because the Southwest Chief is another train. That one goes a different route to California. We had to wait for that train to leave Chicago because there was work on tracks or other freight trains, but they left Chicago an hour late. And all we're asking is that the Cardinal, which only runs three times a week, that they wait a few minutes for us, because we're so late, and apparently they won't. So, and the really ironic thing, we found out what track it's on. They're on the track opposite our track. So, in other words, all you have to do is get off the train, walk across the platform, and we're there. And that's all we're trying to get them to do, and I don't think it's going to work. And as Kyle said, yeah, we do have options. If that doesn't work, we wait a few hours, and then we take the train that goes through New York State back to New York.
And don't forget, there's going to be other people detraining, so we'll have to navigate a bunch of slow movers.
They said we're the only ones taking the Cardinal, though, because it doesn't make any sense to take the Cardinal.
No, that's herein lies the problem. They're not trying to connect to anything urgently. We are, so we'll have to knock them over, knock them into the tracks, all that.
You say that like it's something I can't do. Of course.
No, just for our audience to just get an idea of what we're
facing. I'm in travel mode, okay? When I'm in travel mode, you know what happens, so don't worry about that. We will be first online.
Yeah, a lot of casualties, but not us.
No, not initially, anyway. But the ride has been great. I mean, I, despite all this should tell you something. Despite these hassles, delays, changes, I still highly recommend doing this, and I bear no resentment at all towards people of Amtrak because they're awesome, and this isn't their fault. This is the way the system is set up. It just shows why we need to have a better system where freight trains aren't the ones calling all the shots, because we were sitting in back of a freight train for over an hour, and that's it's just not fair. Other countries don't do it that way. They really go above and beyond to get things to work for you. So it's a great experience. You really bond with people on the train. We met so many interesting folks at the meals that we had all kinds of conversations with people from as far away as New Zealand and other parts of the country, experiencing different things, but all kind of together for this voyage across the country. And we saw the Rocky Mountains, very spectacular. It was probably the most spectacular route of the entire system. What are we passing now, Kyle?
A bunch of freight trains.
Oh, of course. Of course, the damn freight trains. You gotta have the freight trains.
Apparently the cold snap is also affecting the track. They had to do some work.
It was really cold. We stopped in Iowa and got out, and it was my Celsius said minus 17, and I think that's in the teens in Fahrenheit. So it was really cold. No wind, so I didn't feel that badly, but I didn't think in November, which is when we're taping this, that it would be this icy and cold in the Midwest. The snow on the ground, not much, maybe a dusting, half an inch perhaps, but lots of ice and definitely a cold snap, which I understand is about to hit the East Coast as well, so we'll see what's waiting for us when we get back. Ironically, you know, if we take this train that leaves later, we get to New York earlier. We get to New York like about 4 hours earlier. But, you know, when you're it's weird because on a plane, you'd be arguing with them because you're spending more time on a different flight. You know, this flight was nonstop. It's supposed to get there in 4 hours, and instead it's taking 6 hours. And with the train, you're upset because that train is faster, and you're not spending as much time on the train. So it's kind of a unique thing to find yourself as part of the voyage. And again, you know, if you can't handle changes or slight deviations, then maybe it's not for you. But the people who ride these things, I think they're pretty flexible.
Indeed, that's the best way to prepare yourself for trips like this. I mean, we always knew this was a possibility, but so frustrating how close it's become. Really, just down to a couple minutes.
Yeah, and we're about to pull into Chicago. They said we're going to back in. I don't think we're backing in, right, because we're still going in the same direction. But I want to be ready to run out. Well, I'm not going to run, but I want to be ready to move quickly out onto the platform and get what we need to get. But, Kyle, I just wanted to draw attention to one thing, because it's worthy of note. What in God's name has happened? You've read through two full books on this trip, and it's like speed reading. I've never seen you read so quickly and passionately.
Well, I found good titles, and that really motivates me. And the train's a great place to just kind of nestle into a book anyway. So I brought some good stuff. Found some stuff in Oregon, and also had another book that I brought. But yeah, I've read a couple books this year, maybe half a dozen, almost.
But you read two on this trip. I mean, you just were tearing through. It's amazing what trains can do to people, and it's really turned you into a vociferous, is that the right word, reader? If I was more of a reader, I would know how to pronounce that. But, oh, what are we looking at now? I see lights. We're crossing over a bridge. Do you see Chicago, you know, the city? I don't know. Are we getting close? Because if we're by the station or by the city, I probably should...
I really can't tell. I just see a little canal or river.
We've just come to a stop, and we're definitely not at the station, so... maybe this is where we start going backwards somehow.
Yeah, perhaps. Anyway, I was always a reader, and that train brings out, I guess, who you really are. So there you go.
And you know what's kind of funny about all this? While we were doing this, we're also keeping track of things back home. This is a Tuesday, so normally we're on live on Tuesdays, and obviously if we're on a train in the Midwest, we're not on live. So we had our friend Finn, who does a show after us, put our pre-recorded show from the beginning of this same journey on the air. However, his train was late. His train to Stony Brook was late, so he had to hightail it down to the studio from the station, and so our show started about 10 minutes late. So we've just been deluged with late trains today. But I think maybe the LIRR, it's not quite as fun, but on Amtrak, it's still an adventure.
Yes, directly and indirectly, trains have been affecting all kinds of schedules.
How has your net connectivity been?
It's been okay. I haven't really been online all that much. And, yeah, I don't know. I noticed the service was decent. I had weird things with my provider where it would, like, go down to some of the older systems like Edge and 3G, and then it would like refuse to do certain things, or it would complain about data limits. But I think that had more to do with whichever network I was on, because once I got back to LTE or the like more modern versions, the data limits and those sort of weird messages didn't seem to show up as much. And we are in Illinois, where AT&T has a strong presence, so maybe they're getting their act together. I don't know.
Well, yeah, you got a warning from your company, or maybe it wasn't your company, saying that you'd reached the end of your data or something. Your data is being limited or cut off. I thought you had an unlimited plan, but apparently there's limits to that.
No, I think it's more to do with whichever network you're on. So, like, yeah, you may have all sorts of ability to transmit data when you're on the sort of faster networks, but the slower networks are like, there's no way I could do 1 gig. What are you talking about? You
but
know,
it's not like you made the choice to be on the slower network. You know, you don't even know what network you're on half the time.
No, it's just a cumbersome aspect of their roaming, and perhaps people with newer phones, they don't even see stuff like this, but when you have an older handset, you get weird quirks like this. So I think that's what was really going on, because I'm not aware of, like, having, you know, any hard limits on my data. And in fact, what they were telling me was, like, it was something around 3 gigs, and they're saying you used, like, almost a little over that, like, you know, a couple hundred megs over that, which doesn't make any sense if I reached a 3 gig limit. So it was probably the limit for that particular part of the network. But
my phone accused me of not being registered on the network, which I don't know what I'm supposed to do about that, but eventually we got past that disagreement. Going backwards. Okay, so I'm gonna stop talking now because we're backing into Union Station. Boy, there were a lot of Union Stations. We passed through Denver. We got out of Denver and walked around a bit. They have a Union Station there. Beautiful station. The only problem with it, not enough trains. It's like it's a train station mall. Everything is based on trains. You know, you've got a bar named after a train. You've got all kinds of stores with train themes. And you have the timetables. And the timetables show you various things, but they're not trains. They're like sales or chocolate sundaes or things like that. But they do have a little screen with the trains, the actual trains from the station on them. But there's only one train and two buses. It's kind of sad. But the station is beautiful. I just wish there were more trains. Anyway, we have to go. We have to see what this next step of our adventure will be. Wish us luck.
No Confederate stations. Think about that.
Up the Hudson Valley, across New York State, to Chicago, down the plains. All so easy and dreamlike, crashing the salt flat daybreak. I hear I'll take you home again, Kathleen. Saddened fog winds out there to blow. Across the rooftops of eerie old hangover, San Francisco. Non-transcontinental, 3,000 miles from my home. I'm on the California Zephyr, watching America roll by. Non-transcontinental, 3,000 miles from my home. I'm on the California Zephyr, watching America roll by. I've hit the end of the trail, can't even drag my body. I've been driven mad for 3 years. Too much fame keeps a body busy and a mind full of white pork tears. Terrified by that sad song across rooftops, mingled with the lachrymose cries of the Salvation Army meeting on the corner, saying Satan is the cause of it all. Now I'm transcontinental, 3,000 miles from my home. I'm on the California Zephyr, watching America roll by. Now I'm transcontinental, 3,000 miles from my home. I'm on the California Zephyr, watching America roll by.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, that was nothing short of a miracle. We got off the train. We backed in. It turned out that the car we were trying to get out of, they were going to unload all the baggage first. And that sort of, if we had any chance at all to get onto the next train, we needed to get ahead of the baggage. So we moved forward several cars to where there would be less baggage in one of the coach cars. And so we were able to get out. And actually, that was a good move because that was the back of the train, but the train backed into the station. So we were closer to the crossover for the platforms. And we heard people saying, Amtrak people saying, train 50 is still there. still at the platform. It wasn't supposed to be there. It was supposed to be gone. And it was still there. They were waiting for us. At least, that's what we thought at first. We thought they were waiting for us. It was an incredible miracle. We did a little bit of running, but not too much running. Mostly to the end of the station, just a few feet, and then over to the right platform, getting confirmation that was, in fact, Train 50. And they knew who we were when we were running up the platform. They said, oh, yeah, because we were the only ones, I guess, that didn't show up yet.
Yeah, they had people at the end of the platform inside the station who were asking anybody for Train 50, and I was a little bit ahead, and I just immediately blurted that that was our train, and she got on the radio and started talking and then directing me towards another side entrance, and then another attendant was directing me down there, telling me which track it was, track 28. And at that point, I just started running down the platform, and you were in close behind me there. And then we, I guess, somewhat exasperated syllables and
still exasperated,
unintelligible words, basically gestured, yeah, we're supposed to be here, yeah, we have a ticket, and, you know, he asked us, you know, who we were, and let us on board and showed us to our spot.
Shortly after we got on board, we heard the announcement that there was a problem with the food and beverage car, and that's why the train was late. Not because they were waiting for us, because they had problems. And we were kind of praying they would have problems and be delayed, because that happened to the other train, so why not this one?
Yeah, the guy on the platform was telling me as he was directing me into the train that there was some kind of water problem. They're trying to fill up the water, and they're just having problems with water.
I don't care what kind of problem it was. I'm just glad they had a problem. Hopefully it's the last one.
I tried to feign sympathy, but I absolutely was relieved.
Yeah, how do you feign sympathy when you want the train to be late? Anyway, we just started moving right now, and now we're backing, well, not backing, we're going forward out of Union Station in Chicago.
Mind you, we wanted the train to be late that is actually going to take us longer to get to the destination. Let's just put it in context.
Because it's all about the trip.
No. Yeah. Anybody listening knows that, of course, that's what we want.
Well, it was really, really surprising. But not really. I kind of thought if anyone had a chance to get on this train, it was us. And good luck has shone upon us one more time as we head down now through Illinois, Indiana, West Virginia, D.C., Maryland, etc. Whatever it takes to get back to New York. But we could have gone the other way, the way we came through New York State, but this is different. This is a different way to go than the way we came. And now we are officially on our way, and hopefully we'll make up the time that we lost.
And not repeating any lines. All the lines you've taken have been different on this trip.
Pretty much. I mean, technically, when we left Seattle, we backtracked over the route we took from Portland. But it was a different train.
Different train.
Yeah.
Doesn't count.
And there's no other way to get back. So, look at Chicago. This is the second time, actually, on this trip we've been looking at Chicago leaving. Except now we're leaving in a different direction. So, it's a lot more high rises. Are we going to go through the depressing part of Indiana again with all the coal plants?
Maybe, but a lot of that may be exclusive to the Lakeshore route. If we go further south, I don't know. But just when you get out of Illinois, you go through Gary, Indiana, and places like that. So there's, you know what? Indiana has plenty of depressing things to offer for everyone.
Oh, we just lost our Indiana audience. Okay. But it is a nice place, and we're happy to be going through it again. I would love to see those big, depressing buildings at night. That would be really something. And there's snow on the ground. There was not snow on the ground when we were in Chicago last, so that's something.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm choking. It's very dry. It's that dry winter air. So, I'm just still catching my breath here.
We cursed out a train, actually, because we saw a train leaving as we came in, and it was an Amtrak train, but it wasn't this one. So we cursed out an innocent train.
Yeah, I think we should apologize.
If I can find out what train it was, maybe I will. It might be one of those Illinois line things that they have here.
I think any train will accept the apology.
So they have a different menu, which is nice, because I was getting a little sick of the same choices on pretty much all the trains we've taken so far. You know, each train should have a different menu, I think. Shouldn't have the same thing everywhere. I noticed they don't have the Amtrak mussels, so that's an opportunity that is gone. And probably a lot of other experiences. It might have been perfectly good. I don't know. But just, if I'm going to get muscles, it's probably not going to be on an Amtrak train.
I saw an older gentleman having his plate of muscles today when we were having lunch. Maybe he just wants to play with his fate, you know, roll the dice, as they say. But he seemed like, you know, he could handle it. He was prepared for it and seemed to have enjoyed them.
Well, we'll check in on him and see how he's doing. That's pretty much it, though, for now, for the exciting connections. Always at least one exciting connection that you have to make on trips like this. And this certainly qualified. It's also the last one. But
ladies and gentlemen, our first intermediate station stop will be Dyer, Indiana. In between Chicago and Dyer is 28 miles of track. It's across six different railroads, heavily congested with freight. Through two large freight yards, we try to do it as safely and as quickly as possible. It'll take the cooperation of all six of those railroads to run the train in an hour to an hour and 10 minutes, barring absolutely no delays. If we do have any delays, folks, I'll let you know what they are. Once again, our first intermediate station stop will be Dyer, Indiana, in about an hour to an hour and 10 minutes, barring absolutely no delays. Thank you.
Dan, you know there's never no delays.
Yeah, I think that translates to we are absolutely going to spend the next 2 hours trying to get to that stop.
You know what? It's okay with me. We're on our last train, and you know, as long as it doesn't take days, I'm good with that.
Creole shrimp and dolly.
Look at the moon rising over Chicago. We've been watching the moon. It's been out every night
yes.
On our whole trip.
Yes, I believe it's full moon tonight.
It looks a little less than full. I think it's waning.
Okay, it may be waning. Asian noodle bowl.
Excuse me?
And the pasta and meatballs.
Oh, the menu, okay.
Yes, and the red wine braised beef.
Ladies and gentlemen, the diner room is now open and serving. The diner room is open and serving. If you request to have dinner, the diner room is open and serving. Come on up and eat dinner, and thank you.
We should come on up and eat dinner.
I'm willing. Whenever you're ready.
All aboard! This is the last train to Buckethead Land!
To your left, you'll see Giant Robot, one of the first attractions on this last train ride to Buckethead Land. Oh my God, Giant Robot. Johnny Sacco, where are you today? You rode Doom for eternity, supporting Giant Robot with Jerry Mono. Speaking of Jerry Mono, ladies and germs, to your right, you'll notice under construction, nearly complete, Jerry Mono's Executive Wonder Ride. Be careful. There's still construction in process. Don't let any of your children jump out of the car. I even forgot about this attraction. The Siamese Twins of Doom, Landslide Mountain, to your left again, ladies and germs. Oh my God. When this is completed, Buckethead Land will be complete. To your left again as we pass around this curve. Edwin Neal's Sausage Massacre Hayride. You'll notice a giant stand-up of Edwin poking at sausages at the dinner table. That's where tickets are sold. I never knew what seemed to make his appetite so unquestionably unleashed for the sausages. But without that appetite, we would not be able to love him. Leatherface's castle. There's only a sign, ladies and gentlemen, to the right that designates the spot where it will be built. This will possibly be for third or fourth phase of Buckethead Land. We're not sure yet.
Our engineers are coming up with so many ideas! We can only take them one at a time! We're trying to offer you everything we can! Would anyone need sausage, right? What else do you want?
It's been a long day at Buckethead Land, ladies and gentlemen. Your engineer's getting very weary.
Yeah. Oh.
Very weary. I have to go home. Have a little phenobarbital. Sit down. Play my Texas Chainsaw Massacre video game. Sorry for the erratic behavior on this last train to Buckethead Land. Your engineer's at the end of his leash. We wish you many more pleasurable visits. Wish you a lifetime of fun, even when you're not in this wonderland of joy. We wish you happiness in whatever you do.
That was the last train. Did you enjoy it?
Kind of. It was scary, but I liked it.
You want to go back again?
Yeah.
When?
Next summer!
All set?
Yeah, go up there.
All right.
Whatever you want.
Cool.
We'll head up there.
All right. You know what I mean, though? It's like,
they're
such a serious industry.
No, I agree.
And all their commercials are just slapstick. It's just jokes.
Jokes about car crashes and
Liberty
people
Mutual,
falling off.
Geico. All of them.
Yeah, but it's mostly they have like a cult following of their characters and stuff.
Well, right. Progressive has the flow.
Yeah.
And Geico has the gecko.
I hate that stupid thing.
And the caveman. Geico has a bunch of them.
Yeah. And Liberty Mutual. They have.
They got the emu.
Yeah.
And there's more, I'm sure. State Farm has that thing of like, we call that a something. Been there, done that, or whatever. Insured that. You know, that whole thing where they walk through the museum with the one guy with the glasses.
Yeah.
Whatever.
We've seen a thing or two.
Yeah, we've seen a thing or two because of blah, 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 da, da, da.
These commercials are really having an impact on you, I can see.
It's hurting my feelings.
Yeah, but you're paying attention to them. That's the important thing.
I'm glad I got that off my chest.
Yeah, which you should have insured because you have a cough.
Yeah, I got a bit of a dry, cold, winter blast cough here. If I think of another insurance company, I'll let you know. The guaranteed rate field, give me a break.
So that's the name of the parking field of the Chicago White Sox is, what is it again?
Guaranteed Rate Field.
And that's the name of insurance company, Guaranteed Rate. Are you sure it's not the parking lot saying they have a guaranteed rate for the parking lot?
It looked like they had renamed the field that.
Well, the parking lot anyway. Oh, you think the whole stadium is called Guaranteed Rate Stadium?
Don't make me look it up. I will.
That's the thing. You know, when you have a phone, you can just look everything up. So you pass by something, and you can just look it up. and that's you know, it's funny. We were leaving this town, and I think we passed something called the Ron Hardy Appreciation Society. I looked that up, and it turned out it's a thing. This guy was a DJ who died of AIDS, and there's a whole big memorial to him, and we just happened to pass that by, and I looked it up, and I learned something. Well, anyway, we are now leaving Chicago. The dining car is open, so I guess we should mosey on over to that and just sort of recuperate from running across the platform, which, you know, is more stressful than it sounds. But final leg of our journey, well, actually the real final leg is the LIRR, and that will certainly be stressful. But this should be nice. This should be a pleasant end to this cross-country trip, which I guess is something most people never do, and I really hope more people are able to in the future.
Oh, I'm still on the insurance thing. So Safeco
Field. You gotta
let
it go, man. You gotta let it go.
Safeco Field in Washington, I noticed, is renamed T-Mobile Park.
I had such a good ending to this segment, too. And okay, fine. Let's talk about insurance companies. Yeah, you're going on about too many of them have clever commercials.
Okay, no, but now it's naming fields, and I know Safeco Field is now T-Mobile Park.
Well, T-Mobile's not an insurance company, so
no,
that's good.
But they had to make it Park, not Field. It couldn't be T-Mobile Field. Why? I don't know.
Well, there's something weird going on in insurance companies. They all have to have clever commercials now, Progressive and Geico and Liberty Mutual, and there's others, too. They all seem to have seen a thing or two people,
no,
whoever they are.
No, you're right. We should finish it properly. I have had a lot of fun on this and seen really beautiful stuff.
Wait a minute. Now I was into talking about insurance companies. Damn it. Okay, fine. Let's end the segment then with something relevant.
All right, on three.
Three. Two.
Oh, no, wait, you started with three, so you got to do it now.
Three, four, five. Wait.
Hold on.
That's the cafe car. They fixed it and it's working, and they want us to go buy drinks.
Oh, is that what they want? Do they have the secret cafe in this one?
I think it might be one of those.
Okay, we have to check it all out. But what, do you want me to count to three or something?
We should synchronize so that we end the show the right way, because it'll be a lot smoother. Our listeners won't...
Oh, I agree.
They won't notice, you know?
But let me just correct you on one thing. It might not be the end of the show. It might be just the end of the segment. It could go into a musical piece that's also somehow relevant.
Oh, you're right. And then we may have other things to jump in on and add to it. And look at Norfolk Southern freight train.
What now?
Norfolk Southern.
Say that three times fast.
Norfolk Southern, Norfolk Southern, Norfolk Southern.
Almost did it, too. Almost made it. Wow. So these are freight trains we're passing by. I'm not sure Norfolk Southern. I can't even say it once. But they're not part of Union Pacific or BNSF either.
Yeah, they have, like, the horse, like, the black and white logo with the horse on it and stuff.
Wow. So much I have to learn. Well, anyway, we should probably explore this train a little bit. I noticed we got magazines or something in this car. We're in a roomette, by the way, which is the smaller version of the room we had.
The magazines are for the toilet that's in here.
Okay, you blew me away when you showed me a toilet in this room. I did not know these rooms had toilets in them. I thought they didn't. Because they have toilets down at the end of the hall. Who are they for, then?
People who aren't as social, you know, introverts.
Well, I'm sure as hell not going to use the toilet here. It's literally right next to your seat.
And it allows you to use the facilities and maybe, you know, hold hands with people in your roomette.
Let's stop right there. I was in the Tombs, okay, after the RNC that year, and there's a toilet in the middle of the cell that everyone's expected to just use, and I couldn't do it then, and I sure as hell can't do it on an Amtrak train. So that ain't happening. I'm going down the hallway.
I did check, and it's clean, or relatively clean. Nobody left anything there.
Oh, what a relief. The toilet that's in our bedroom is literally connected to the bed. Is clean. That's so reassuring.
Sometimes Amtrak gets in a hurry, and they don't check everything.
I just think, you know, this could have been used for something better than a toilet in these really, really tiny rooms. Imagine you're sitting on the LIRR, you know, those three-seat things they have, you know, three people can sit on them, except that the last one is a toilet instead of a seat. That's what we have here. Actually, you know what? We don't even have that because it's only one seat and a toilet, so it's a two-seater. where it's a half. Why don't I have a toilet on my side, huh? What if we both have to go to the bathroom at the same time? Or maybe there's one upstairs because we have a little cot that comes down. Uh-huh. And boy, that's fun because whoever gets the upper bunk doesn't even have a window. You're just basically in a casket.
There is a luggage rack, which is nice.
Can I sleep in that?
I would. Oh, maybe.
That might be more comfortable.
Yeah, cozy.
I'm bitching, I know, but I'm still having fun.
I just want to point out, this is a Viewliner. We were previously on a Superliner.
Wait, I didn't know. Okay, I'm learning something. Hold on a second. Tell me the difference between a Viewliner and a Superliner.
Oh, I can't do that. I just said I was going to tell you.
Damn it.
For reference. I don't know any. But my point is, when it was designed, both are ancient-ish. So when it was designed, maybe it was a different time, you know? Maybe in the 70s or whenever they introduced this, people were a little bit more, you know...
Wait a minute. Is this a double-decker train or not?
I don't think it is.
Because it's going to New York. And if you recall, the very first guy told us that the double-deckers couldn't get through the tunnels in New York. So if this is a double-decker, we need to get off this train because it's going to smash into the tunnel.
Correct. Yeah. No. It's not as tall, but it may have a basement. I feel like it's a little lower though. I don't know. I don't really remember going upstairs when we got in. But everything is a blur because I was focused on making the train. But I guess we'll just have to find out as we walk around and just see. But I believe this one is perhaps a single deck.
All right. So. Oh, yeah, I just thought of something horrible. What if, since this is a different kind of train, what if they don't have those bathrooms at the end of the hall and we're forced to use the toilet in our bedroom?
Again, it's like in such close proximity. I mean, we have a neighbor right across the hallway.
And he's not using his. I can see that, but...
Yeah. And it's not like there's any, like, aerosol or anything in here you can do to kind of mask any kind of odors. And, again, you have to coordinate with whomever you're sharing the room at with if you want any any form of privacy, any semblance of privacy.
It's hard enough in the other room because, you know, we had a tiny bathroom and shower. It was all one, but it was literally enough for you to stand. You could barely turn around, and you certainly couldn't fall because you would hit a wall before you actually hit the ground. But having that at such close proximity to the main part of the room, and it's funny even saying that because it's like a closet, that was very, it made you very self-conscious, to put it that way. Having a bare toilet right here next to the seat is just too much for me to even handle without using it. It's just so weird and strange, and I'm sure people in Europe and Japan are laughing right now.
But don't you feel that it's more honest? At least they're dispensing with the fiberglass door.
You know, if it's more honest, put a hole in the floor, okay? And just, we can dump things out on the track.
We've been on trains like that.
Yeah, but they didn't have it in the bedroom.
No.
And when I say bedroom, too, that's a bit of a stretch. It's like we're basically two seats, but there's something above us that turns into a bed as well, and then the two seats down here come together as the bottom bed. And, that's sort of like a bedroom with two bunk beds.
I have noticed we're missing our ladder. I don't know where it is. I'm assuming it's on that thing that goes up and down that I guess I'm sleeping on, but we may have to get some climbing apparel and do some kind of rigging to wriggle our way up there. But that comes later. We need to recoup, re-energize, explore, and navigate these six train tracks we're going to cross.
Well, we don't have to do that. The engineer has to do that. What we have to do is explore the train and see how many cars there are and what's different about this particular train.
Can we just put it out there that, you know, Amtrak, when you're working on new rail cars, please consider ergonomics and, you know, maybe do some extra thinking and brainstorming on the old bathroom situation.
Well, I'm not going to blame Amtrak. It's not their fault. I keep saying that a lot, but it's not. They're the most awesome people as far as, taking care of you and running the trains. They need funding. They need to be funded. They need to be taken seriously. They need to not have to wait behind freight trains. They need to have good rolling stock, which means cars, and good facilities, and enough of a budget to handle all that, and enough of a chance to actually make money by having routes in good places at good speeds. So that's why we ride it, because we support that kind of thing, and I sure hope to see improvements. It's still a lot better than a plane.
Yes, yeah. I remember one of the attendants as we were leaving said, friends don't let friends fly.
Wow, that's a good saying. I like that.
Yeah, it was great. That was a good announcement to send us off.
Well, let's be on our way. We'll walk up and down the aisles here and try and figure out where things are and take advantage, maybe meet some people at dinner. As we have done many times, we've had good conversations with all sorts of people, talking about fun TV shows and adventures and trips that we've been on, and it's always a pleasure doing that. It always is. You never talk to people on planes like you do on a train.
Well, hopefully we'll meet some interesting characters, no doubt, and of course, all kinds of excitement in D.C. tomorrow. With the events of the public hearings and testimony, it's a great time to be on your way to Washington.
And the revolution starts right after that, as we all know by now. Well, we have no idea what's happening, actually, because this is being taped in November. Today we just presume that the revolution has happened by now.
Yeah, today was a busy day. I got a flurry of updates and stuff, and I wasn't really paying attention, I guess. People really took Veterans Day off, and I wasn't really paying attention to anything today, but it seems like it's going to be an event-filled week, and a perfect time to be traveling and on your way back to the tri-state area.
See, that's a good ending. That's I should have left that alone. All right.
No, you're going to have to go back now.
No, we can't go back.
Yeah, but it has to be new. I can't rehearse it, you know.
Something better together.
Yours was really good, though.
I liked yours.
All of the last 5 minutes off. I mean, we don't need that.
It might feel like 5 minutes, but it was actually like 10 minutes.
Well, you know, when you are a lover of a craft, time doesn't matter. It stands still.
Which is what we're not doing now, because we're speeding on an Amtrak train heading towards, I guess we're heading towards D.C. We'll pass through West Virginia and other places that we already mentioned. So, with that in mind, we're going to walk around the train and explore and report back what we find and continue our trip back to New York, round trip, round the country, and, you know, I wish I had a final thing to say there. Yeah, go ahead.
See you down the tracks.
See it down the tracks, yeah. I'm not in love with it, but it'll do.
Like, you mean it.
Oh, I have to say it, too?
No, you were going to say it. I thank you. That was just like, that's a pearl. That's like a...
Excuse me, I don't need you to feed me lines. I can come up with my own lines. I can do that.
Like rail lines? Cruising down the rail.
You know, we'll be back later.
When I was a curly-headed baby, my daddy set me down upon his knee. He said, boy, you go to school and learn your letters. Don't you be a dirty miner like me. I was born and raised in the mouth of the Hazard Holler. Coal cars ramble past my door. Now they're standing in an empty row, all dusty, and the L&M don't stop here anymore. Well, I used to think my daddy was a black man with script enough to buy the company store. Now he goes downtown with his pockets empty, and his face as white as the February snow. I was born and raised in the mouth of the Hazard Hollow. Coal cars ramble past my door. Now they're standing in an empty row, all dusty, and the L&M don't stop here anymore. Last night I dreamed I went down to the coal yard to draw my pay just like I'd done before. Them old kudzu vines were coming through the window, and the weeds and grass were growing through the floor. I was born and raised in the mouth of the Hazard Holler. Coal cars ramble past my door. Now they're standing in a rusty row, all empty, and the yelling is, don't stop here anymore. And the yelling is, don't stop here anymore.